This is day 5 of the 7 days retreat in Springwater, January 2014. What a cold day when you walk outside, the dense falling of all these small snowflakes. Sounds are dimmed and the layer of snow growing. An amazing world, and ever-changing. A few days ago it was warm and rainy, now ice cold and all the snow. This opens the question, what is this world, this amazing world, and what is our role in that world? Is there a meaning of life? Can we understand that? Do we have to understand it? First, if we take a careful look, and stay just with the facts, not make already theories, just stay with the facts. This is an immense world. We are on a little planet of a huge galaxy of billions and billions of stars, and this galaxy is only one of another billions of galaxies in this cosmos. And if we can trust the scientists, we want to stay with facts, it is that from beginning of this world, light had not time enough to pass this whole immense space, and we, even if we could, we could not see to the end of it. It is bigger than what we could see when we had the telescopes which really look to the end of it. It is difficult to understand and to find a role in, or a meaning for oneself in such a huge world, isn't it? And we want to be home here. We have the urge to understand, to feel home, that we can say this is our world, a world we love to live in. And on this little planet where we stay, again, an immense action of life and death goes on. We, in every moment, there is living and dying. Children born, people die. And we look to the animals. They live from each other. The one is the prey, the other is the hunter, and then the hunter becomes the prey. An immense cruelty, as it feels for us sometimes. There's cruelty and an immense beauty at the same time. Or that dying, and it seems that without this dying, this amazing and wonderful birth of the new, of the fresh, the opening of a flower, a newborn baby, that would not be possible. It is all one symphony of birth, living and dying. To immense, to understand it all. And if we look into ourselves, just to our bodies, we don't understand the wonder of our bodies. Still not after 1,000 years of medicine and research. We are born with a wonder, with an immense brain, again of billions of nerve cells, not billions of stars, it is billions of nerve cells working together in a way which we still not understand, and bringing by human beings with consciousness. Bringing us the ability to awake here in this world, to see it all. But, of course, the smaller cannot grasp the bigger. So this little organism, how can that understand all the immense universe? So since the science has given us, at least in the last few hundred of years, always more immensity, more amazing knowledge about what this world is and what we are, this was not contributing to the feeling of being at home here, isn't it? So science gives more and a huge view and no explanations, not the feeling, oh, this is my home. So religions have always tried to explain our roles here, to explain what is our meaning here as human beings. So in Christianity it is simply said, this world is just something in between. So it is imperfect and you have to wait for salvation. If you do well here, you come into a paradise where everything would be better. A feeling of... This is really representing the feeling of not understanding a world and being in fear with all what is, and the hope that there will be a solution. Middle Age also created these ideas that God takes us at the hands and leads us across our lives. It's more than our ideas of what a father is. And okay, said father, so who guides us. So this immense urge to be taken at the hand and be safe to enter across this world which is not understandable. Though at Middle Age times the image of the world was so much simpler. Just the earth and on top of it a sphere of the stars. And outside the sphere of the angels. So that feels a bit more home, isn't it? A bit smaller, easier. And also for our impermanence, that we have to die. Religions found good explanations, at least explanations that made it a bit easier for us. So the ideas of reincarnation, saying, yes, you're here in this world and you have to die, but your purpose is to grow, to become better, and you have many lives for that. So you may survive, you can be born again, live again in a maybe better world. But at the same time, if you do evil, you may be born for 70 times as a bug. So it's again this fear that is put into it. So I don't want to speak if one should believe that there is some reincarnation or not. There's no proof for it, but one can leave it simply open, if it's true or not true. We don't know so many things, so we don't know if there's something which will also survive after death. But still, the fact is there, this impermanence of life, this ending of so many things. So when in 2003 and 2006 my parents died, And then the old family house was teared down. I had really the feeling something ended. There was a strong and existential feeling of a world that ended for me. Before, I had the feeling there at least something stable. So parents, we know from beginning of our lives on, there's something stable, and then they die. And I have my early remembrances of this house, which is now not anymore existing. So in this retreat, I dreamt of it. So this is a feeling that more existential feeling of that things end, change. And the death of Tony, also a long time relationship ended. But if we look carefully, these big ends are only milestones. In truth, everything changes all the time. So our work here all the time changed when Tony was alive, and now will also change. And this body changes all the time. Every cell of the born baby is already exchanged when the human being has grown up. It's replaced by a new cell. So no need to have the opinion that this person, I, is something constant which goes through the life. In truth, even we as persons are ever changing. We're, with every moment, we are a new one, a new person. But the problem is that we have fear, that we don't feel comfortable with this ever-changing world. We still have this resistance to it very often. We don't want to have it. We count our memories and go back how wonderful it was, or do any kind of avoidance to see our changes. And there's also our striving for understanding of the world and wants to come to peace with it is very strong. So the wish of becoming an enlightened person, which is through all of that and which is in harmony with the ever-changing world, which has not to fear death and decay and aging, because an enlightenment, and that's the big image, there is something like one has received total security, complete understanding, and a security forever. It's a big image, and one falls easily into this trap of striving for it, of trying to bring by a change, to come to understanding. There's an immense wanting in it, an immense feeling of suffering and want to have the end of it. Is there something like enlightenment, the end of the suffering at once and forever? We always, if we are so needy in that, and that we have the resistance to be what is and as it is in this ever-changing world, if we have this neediness, there's not the ability to end separation. It is always, here's this needy person, and it is separate from all this not understandable huge world, this cruel world of death and decay and immensity. And the seeking for something, the simple seeking to attain and to change, to get something, what makes a difference, is already bringing by the separation. There's the one who seeks something, and the images of what we want to have, we want to find, we want to get for us. There's a German mystic, Tauler, who said, if the divine should enter you, you have to make space for it. So I have to vanish completely to make possible that the divine will unfold. And the same as in the Buddha saying, I attained nothing by enlightenment, makes it clear. Can we accept this, that there's nothing to attain? That in the opposite, things have to be stripped off. And mainly this striving, this wanting, want the change, want to have it better, a better life. This could end. Can it end? Not attaining something, but losing this wanting, this striving. How is that possible? Of course we cannot make it, because then again the I wants to make something, to produce something. In this way the emptying out or the preparing And all with the hope that maybe the divine comes in us. This, can we see that there's nothing to do? And that there's a big illusion that we are the doers and have to do, bring something by. Can we simply stay off that? We do it if we open up carefully, look and listen to all what is there. And if we look carefully, nothing of that what one sees can be named, "This is me." It's all this immense world, this amazing energy of being alive, of being here. We don't have to understand it. It is there. And if this me is silent, there's no separation, no one, nothing to be attained. We flow in a stream where everything is going on its own. No doer, only this amazing stream and energy of life. Simply listening, simply feeling this body, nothing to be done. The flowing of the breath in and out. The thoughts that are a little stream coming and going. Nothing special. Nothing to be attained. Just that. For today, we end.